right, three stories that I want you to know about today. There's a deal in Gaza to stop the genocide. Because it's so totally one-sided, a lot of people are asking, can this thing really hold? India, Kenya, Australia, even the EU are thinking about dumping the dollar in favor of Chinese currency. It's all happening now. And a Russian economist is shocking the world with a profound statement about the U.S. debt that can change everything. You got to hear this on The Sanchez Effect. Let's do this. Hello again, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. As we begin this newscast tonight, we can bring you what appears to be welcome news about what's going on in Gaza. Apparently, both Hamas and Israel have reportedly signed off on the first phase of a Gaza peace plan, which means Hamas is promising to return all of the hostages. Israel is promising to stop the genocide. Okay, we got some video here. These are Palestinians who've gone through absolute hell in the past almost 2 years, living in what can only be described as an open-air prison and a concentration camp turned into a killing field. Yet now you can see that's where they're celebrating. They are desperately trying to cling to the hope that the bombing, the starvation, the sniper attacks will end. Israel says they will sign this deal when they officially ratify it, sometime tonight. Optimism worldwide is, to say the very least, cautious. Meanwhile, India is making news once again. Big news. Let me explain this to you. You know how I've been following this trend lately of how the global South countries are all continuing to try and forge alliances away from the West, right? Right? Well, another shoe has dropped. India, Delhi, is poised to start paying for Russian oil. They're going to buy Russian oil, not with dollars anymore. Now they're going to start paying with Chinese currency. That's right. And by doing so, they're increasing the global shift away from the U.S. dollar when it comes to energy trade in general. Here's the headlines. I'll show them to you. Business Today is spelling it out with the following words. India buys Russian oil in yuan, right? Then they ask, did China just hijack the world's energy market? Notice the negative framing, though, with the use of the word hijack. Why do they say hijack? Like, China has committed a crime for what? Having a reliable currency that people want to use? And then there's Reuters, who broke the story. They say traders seek yuan payment from Indian state buyers of Russian oil. The article goes on to explain that India is accommodating Russia by making these payment procedures a lot more simple, sending a message, no doubt, to the U.S. that they, India, are unified still with Russia, even more so, perhaps. All right, now let's talk about something else. Let's talk about what other signals we see out there and what that means. Well, it signals that relations between India and China, as a result of this new deal I just told you about, are continuing to improve. Because in the past, India refused to pay in Chinese currency. So here's the score right now. India wins by getting less expensive and efficient oil supplies. China wins because it's growing its currency worldwide. And Russia, it wins too by coming up with yet another way to bypass the West, who is trying to destroy its economy, but so far failing. Speaking of the West, you know who the loser is in all of this? The U.S. dollar.
For 80 years, the U.S. dollar has ruled the world, but everything just changed as BRICS has revealed their latest plans to build a new gold standard, and it's going to change everything we know about global trade.
Is the U.S. dollar just collapsing? Because while asset prices are soaring, the dollar index is sinking, down over 10% year to date, on pace for its worst annual performance since 1973.
If you're holding U.S. bonds or dollar cash, you are out of luck. The reserve currency is probably going to tank more. Now, people really need to realize this. Cutting rates is not some miracle cure to save the U.S. economy.
Everybody seems to be talking about it. The U.S. dollar is collapsing. The U.S. is being told that the world is running out of confidence in its ability to manage its debt. That's what you're hearing. It's kind of like when you get a call from somebody that you owe money to after he finds out that you've just been fired from your job. So he's starting to think you're not going to be able to pay him back, right? See, that's exactly what countries around the world are thinking right now about the U.S. Their debt's just too big. Even the EU, this is the U.S.'s longtime dependable ally. Suddenly, it's having doubts about the dollar. This headline almost sounds like kind of like a stab in the back to the U.N. from an old friend. Look what it says. EU must seize unique opportunity to supplant the U.S. dollar dominance. Wow. And here's the actual quote from the EU central bank's chairperson, Christine Lagarde.
The world is in transition. Geopolitical shifts and heightened policy uncertainty remind us that no currency's global position is guaranteed.
All right, so let's go through this again. Europeans, you just heard her, they're in doubt. India, they're out. Anybody else? Yes. Let's go to Africa. Kenya has just announced they too are switching to the Chinese currency. Kenyan officials say they're going to repay their debts on their huge railway project using the UN. Traditionally, they have always used the dollar for such transactions, but no more. They're saying it's cheaper and more efficient to use Chinese currency over dollars. So here's what's happening with the dollar right now. Let's try and get that figured out. So the premium on U.S. Treasury auctions is going up. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of like what your auto insurance company does when you add your teenage son to your policy and they say, uh-oh, right? That's kind of like what the world is saying about the United States right now, which is why the premium is going up. They're going to make them pay more. They see problems ahead. And they're not the only ones. Most of the world's rating agencies are also downgrading the U.S. debt. Look at Moody's, right? It says this is not a short-term problem for the United States. They say there are serious structural issues with the U.S. economy. Quote, we anticipate that the federal debt burden will rise to 134% of GDP by 2035, compared to 98% in 2024. So ask yourself, because this is what they're saying. Let me break it down for you. If your neighbor makes $100,000 a year, right? But he spends $134,000 a year, and his spending is going up every single year. You know, he keeps buying, I don't know, a new Mercedes or something. Would you give him a loan? Hell no, right? He's spending too much. He doesn't have enough. He spends more than he has. He's in debt. So of course not. That is what Moody's is saying right now about the U.S. economy and the U.S. debt and essentially the U.S. dollar. And that's why so many countries are now switching over to the UN. So what is the U.S. doing about all of this? Well, you would think, right, wouldn't you, if this was you, right, and you owe too much, right? You sit down with your husband or your wife and you'd say, honey, we're spending too much money, right? Let's cut back. Let's reduce some of this debt, right? Let's pay some things off. So is the United States doing that? Is it trying to pay it off? No. They're not. Not at all. As a matter of fact, Congress just passed this thing called the Big Beautiful Bill. It adds more debt, a lot more debt for years to come, trillions. And the tariffs, they're not helping either. They're likely going to choke the average American consumer by increasing the price of many, many of the things that they go to try and go to Walmart to buy. This is why China is, as you've heard right here on this show, we told you, remember we brought you this? China is essentially dumping, selling off U.S. treasuries as fast as it can.
We are at a level of indebtedness we've never seen before in peacetime, and only very rarely and for a short time in war. But this one keeps getting worse and worse. And what the Chinese have done, knowing full well that if the United States gets to a point where it can't pay its debts, you know who it's going to not pay them to first. The Chinese, because they're designated as the bad guy in this country. So they have been cutting back because it's too risky. But let me assure you, they're not the only one.
So let's talk about Australia, since he said they're not the only one. Yes, they too are showing signs of dumping the dollar. See, back in 2013, Australia began trading directly using the Chinese yuan under a landmark currency deal. Made a lot of news. The move was part of Canberra's efforts to strengthen Australia's burgeoning economic relationship with China. But it didn't get that much headway. Now, it's going even further. Australia's Fortescue, it's a huge iron mining company, secured a UN-dominated loan worth $1.98 billion to ramp up its decarbonization plans. Weeks after scrapping its U.S. and Australian green hydrogen projects. So you know what that means? It means that diplomatic relations between China and Australia are on the up. China and Australia, not China and the U.S. And again, this is a trend that I've been telling you about now for the last couple of months. Remember when we went to the Shanghai Cooperative Summit? I was reporting to you from there, and I told you about the new trade deals, like the one between Russia and China, the Siberian pipeline they're starting. And then we went to Sochi, and at the Valdai Club gathering, I reported to you about the emphasis away from Western institutions and the U.S. in particular when it comes to new business relationships. Well, and here I am just yesterday, October 9th, at the St. Petersburg Creative Economic Summit, where once again I heard thought leaders and I talked to them about, and they're from all over the world, they gathered here to talk about how developing countries will creatively compose different methods from those that are used in the West, those that many people think are flailing.
If we are talking about the creative products that came to us from Western countries, we see a kind of a unified lineup with a standardized cultural code. Now, if we're talking about the countries of the global majority, we see diversity instead of cliches. And, in essence, the answer to this unified lineup of Western products is a whole matrix of products from every country, each with its own cultural characteristics, thereby providing a complete set of experiences that Western countries cannot offer.
You know, the funny thing is, when you look at this thing, the trend is startling. The dollar is in decline. The West has too much debt, not enough income. All it can rely on is defense spending to try and raise its coffers, but that's making citizens even more angry because they don't want the wars, and that's not good. And the U.S. is staring down the barrel of a debt crisis right now like we've never seen before. Look at this. Tick, tick. Tick, tick. Tick, tick. $37 trillion in debt. Look at that. It just keeps growing. It's going right now. That's what you're looking at right there is in real time. That's the U.S. debt going up as we're watching it go up. Can you imagine? That's how much the United States owes. And now you ask yourself, okay, that's what it owes, but it must make a lot more than that. No. What is the U.S. GDP? About $30 trillion. So look at this. If you only make $30 trillion, but you have $37 trillion, as we just saw there in debt, that means you're underwater, right? Is China underwater? Does China owe more than it takes in? No. Does Russia? No. India? No. That is why those countries are coming together. Can the U.S. somehow recover? One Russian economist has sent shockwaves around the world with one comment. Here he is essentially about to tell you what he thinks the United States is going to do, which is shocking. Here's Anton Kobyokov. He's a senior economic advisor to the Russian government. He was speaking recently. He suggested the U.S. will rescue itself with a bold and some would say kind of crazy move.
America is currently trying to change the rules of the gold and cryptocurrency markets. These are essentially two alternatives to the global currency market. Washington's actions in this direction clearly demonstrate one of its main objectives. They desperately want to address the problem of declining confidence in the dollar. The U.S., as it did in the 1930s and the 1970s, will solve its financial problems at the expense of the entire world, driving everyone where? Into a cryptocurrency cloud. Over time, when part of the U.S. national debt is placed in stable coins, the U.S. will devalue this debt. To put it simply, they currently have $35 trillion in foreign currency debt. They are pushing it into the crypto cloud, devaluing it, and starting from scratch. This is for those who really love crypto. The game will be over very quickly, within 3 to 5 years.
This is a complicated scheme that he just described, one that's going to use the mostly stable coins, USDT. And what's that tied to? The U.S. dollar. Oh, what a coincidence. They're essentially digital currencies, right? As the U.S. itself is moving away from its own dollar in order to restructure its own debt. It would be bold. It would be extremely controversial, Machiavellian, perhaps. Likely good for the U.S. debt crisis, of course, but not good for any of the folks who are holding the U.S. debt. By the way, I was talking a little while ago about my trip to St. Petersburg. I spoke to a lot of people at the Creative Economy Summit there, but I met a young woman I found absolutely intriguing. There's a lot of people there, but she's an African-American, New York City fashion entrepreneur who traveled to Russia for this forum. And she gives us a fresh take on geopolitics, global economic transformation that's taking place, and what the impression is on her as an average American, right? And then she talks about Russia itself. You know, it's brave right now for an American to come to Russia. It's courageous. Her conversation is somewhat amazing, I think. Here, I want to bring it to you right now. Here's my conversation with Ms. Nicole M. Best. She's the founder of Noor Fashion Week. Nicole, so good to see you.
You too.
It's
you
so nice. Too. It's so nice to see a fellow Amerikanski here with me, huh?
I'm here.
So you're an entrepreneur.
I am. I have been.
And you're in the world of fashion.
I'm in the world of fashion.
You hang around in New York.
Yeah.
Where fashion basically lives in the United States.
Absolutely.
And you find yourself here talking in St. Petersburg, Russia, about the new economy that's developing all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's two parts, really. One of them is the multipolar world is literally establishing itself, and countries like Russia and China and Vietnam and India and all these countries from the Arab countries and Arab Gulf states, for example, are coming together and creating new enterprises. That's pretty exciting. What drew you to this?
You know what? This is my fourth time speaking in Russia. The other times are in Moscow, first time in St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. And really what's drawn me to Russia is the creative economy and the way that they actually really respect creativity, entrepreneurship, and their forward-thinking mind of collaboration. So when I was invited to come speak here at the RICS conference, it was a no-brainer. Huh. They saw me speak in Moscow at the BRICS Fashion Summit and asked me right there on the spot, would I come? And of course I would.
But what makes it different from, you're right, and yes. I think I know the answer to this question. There's something going on right now where people are going back to the spoken word, the image, those things, instead of just technology and nerdy world. And I'm seeing that Russia seems to be embracing it.
Yes.
China's embracing it. A lot of countries in this part of the world are embracing it. Yeah. Actually, the West is turning more techie than this part of the world. Is that clear or am I confusing you?
No. That's totally clear. And I think most of that has to do with the collaborations of the countries.
Yeah.
You know, I think in America, people are getting tired, honestly. Everything's going up. there's still no co-op, you know, we're still having issues with inclusivity and diversity. Mm-hmm. They're not having those issues.
No, they don't.
Here.
No, people literally look out for themselves here.
Let me tell you something. My first time in Russia, I couldn't believe the amount of love that I got here versus in my home country.
You didn't get that, wow, she's a black woman from the United States. That's kind of weird. You didn't feel that?
Not even one small bit.
Really?
But if I were to go home right now and walk into a space that looks like a Russian space, they would wonder why I was there, and they would have left the room quite faster than someone that really needs to use the bathroom for the past hour. You know? And you know, we deal with a lot of that in America. We're still fighting for inclusion and diversity. We just got rid of all the DEI programs, and now, you know, one community is upset with, you know, with
one. Listen, I agree with those folks on the MAGA side who are saying you can't force that crap.
Yes.
You can't make people like a black person
a
Hispanic person
Russian
person.
I agree.
But you have to create the conditions in society where people learn to just like each other, even love each other, protect each other, care about each other. How do we do that in America? Because I see those things here. People always say to me, why is it that there's no crime in Moscow and we have so much crime here? It must be because of Putin and the authoritarianism. Everybody knows that if they steal something, they're going to get their ass kicked and go to prison for the rest of their life. No.
Most of the time, they don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Even just me coming here to speak, the very first time, my husband, we were like, we're not going to tell anybody. But then the second, third, and fourth time, you're like, who cares what you think? It's actually, there's barely one homeless person on the street. No one's fighting on the street. No one's looking at me going, ha, ha, ha. They're looking at me and saying, wow, how beautiful.
No drug addiction.
There's no drug addiction. There's no.
And by the way, going back to the crime thing, the reason there's no crime is because people look out for each other.
That's it.
And they look out for each other's stuff.
It used to be like that in America at some point.
Yeah.
It used to be like that when your friend's grandmother could stop you from doing bad, you know? But it's not, everyone's out for self.
And that's not to say everything here is perfect, because it's not. There's plenty of people. There's people complaining.
There's nowhere.
There's people who like what the president's doing. People want that damn war to end. There's all kinds of opinions in this part of the world. But generally speaking, there is Man, I can't believe I'm even saying this. Maybe I'm crazy. You tell me if I'm crazy, but I'm almost getting a sense that there's more of a freedom here today than I experience in our own country.
You are 100% correct. There's nothing wrong with that statement. It's true from beginning to the end. You know, I often say if there was an opportunity that opened up for me in Russia, I would move my entire family here.
Really?
Absolutely. We know that people aren't perfect everywhere, right?
Of course, yeah.
But in what Russia is building with its creative economy, it's even not a place for an entrepreneur to struggle anymore.
Hmm.
You heard I can't think of his name, but he sat maybe two seats down from me just speaking. I think he might have been from the Office of Strategic Initiative.
Yeah.
But what he said was, you know, in just 2030, we're looking at $12 billion being dumped into Russia for the creative economy alone.
Yeah.
In America.
You know what that is? Desperate times call for desperate measures. And sometimes you don't seek if you got it all.
This
country has been put through more sanctions and more castigatory measures.
Isn't it something?
Than almost any country in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And instead of folding, you got to give them props.
Yeah.
Because what they did was say, okay, the things we used to depend on America for, we'll just build ourselves. We'll have our own Burger King. We'll have our own McDonald's. We'll have our own Starbucks.
Yeah.
We'll make our own clothing. We'll make our own furniture. Instead of trading with the West, we'll trade with India. We'll trade with China. So it's almost like the country has been creative in its ability to outdo these.
Which is wonderful. I mean, truly, pat yourselves on your back, Russia. It's truly, truly wonderful. You know, in America, you're hoping that your mayor has some extra money for your initiative.
Yeah.
You're hoping that your governor is not using the money to party and things of this nature. So you're hoping that your governor will force the mayor and their office to, you know what I mean? Or we're creative too, you know? I've been an entrepreneur since I was 19 years old. I started my own fashion brand nine seasons ago, right? Yeah. But I say this to say that I've never, ever had, never asked or was never given an investment. And I've only ever worked two corporate jobs for 6 months in 23 years.
You're a good American.
You know?
You're a good American. I mean, that's what America's all about.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. I do my best, you know? But when you have countries that are doing things that are promoting what you do, they want to grow your family in what you do.
Our foreign policy seems to push us away from opportunities that I think would be grand.
Oh, yes.
Don't you? I look at the Russian people. It's funny. I mean, in the short time that I've been working here, as well as visiting, you know, China and Turkey and a lot of the countries in this region.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've noticed, and in particular with Russia, is that the people are hungry for everything American. They love our songs.
Love
they
it.
Love our culture. They
That's
love
right.
our cars. They
That's
love
right.
our products. And we're kind of shitting on them.
You know, that's probably because they haven't introduced themselves to the right people. Maybe sometimes you think that it's that person and it's not, you know? I was listening to someone talk in Moscow a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you need to go where your business grows. Stop force feeding yourself down someone's throat where you think you should be.
What do you mean by that? Who's force feeding?
The
Russians, you mean, should not be looking to America anymore?
No. Meaning, like, if you're an entrepreneur, and you are in a place where you see that it's dry, and you just keep force feeding, you keep asking for partnership, collaboration, and you're not getting it. He's like, go where your business grows, and it was a light bulb moment for me, because New York Fashion Week has been around for decades, you know what I mean?
And almost as famous as South Beach, the one that I get to go to.
Right? I'm telling you, right?
My hometown.
It's been around for so long.
Yeah.
And yes, it has opened up a bit, even like for myself with Noir, but I only feel that I should be in New York to give Russians and other countries an opportunity to be in the big city. If it were just about Americans, if Noir was just about Americans, I would have taken it and just brought it strictly to all the other countries I go to.
I was going to ask Mr. Putin this question when I was with him a few days ago at the summit in Sochi. And I was going to ask him, what do you think Americans need to know about your country?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you that question. What do you think Americans, our fellow Americans, as we like to say, what do you think they need to know or understand that they don't know about Russia?
I think one thing is stop believing American media as much as you do.
What is that lie about?
I think that lie is about keeping us, you know, away from growth, away from opportunity. You know, it's a lot of it is just we know that there is something going on here, right? But I mean, the way that I explain it, it's like going from the hood to the suburbs, right?
But let me give you the converse of that.
Yeah.
Russia has a great opportunity if you make weapons. They're making a lot of money off of getting people to hate Russia.
They're making a lot of money.
Every time a plane crashes, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Every time a bullet is fired, cha-ching.
That's so true.
So, no, there's people in America who see a wonderful opportunity in Russia.
Yes, yes, yes.
You get my drift?
I totally get it. But, you know, like I tell people in Moscow every time I go, I could really be the spokesperson for Russia. You know, or for this side.
This would be great.
This side of the tracks, right? You know what I mean? Because it's not at all what you think. My dad is even scared for me today. And he wasn't the last two times, the first time he was cool. But right now, I'm like, Dad, it's just not.
Like, I know, it's hard.
Like, let's buy you a ticket. You want to come?
Does
like,
he still think this place is communist?
You know.
A lot of people do. I hear Congress people say that.
Yeah, he doesn't really think, he doesn't say much. He just says, just please be careful. If anything happens, get out of there. I'm like, I'm going to like the most beautiful city in Russia.
And safe. He should be telling you, don't go to Detroit.
Right. That was good. It's the absolute. absolute truth. It's safe. There's no homeless
people.
The food is good. It's way healthier than ours. The U.S. doesn't even care about what we eat.
Yeah.
You know, they want us to die.
I know.
I hate to say that.
You could die of eating too many vegetables and fresh fish here. Other than that,
exactly. So
this thing with the creative industries, I'm fascinated by this whole thing. Well, because I've been a creative guy all my life. I've been in media. I've owned two media companies, and I've made most of my money in the idea of the spoken word. I'm a storyteller. That's what I do for a living, right?
Yes.
So I think that's an important part, and I think no matter what you do. For example, I had the good fortune of founding a healthcare company, and I was in charge of the marketing and public relations because I wanted to be in charge of the messaging. And you can't build something, no matter how technical or scientific it is, if you don't have somebody who can tell its story.
That's right.
So there'll always be a place for the merging of those two things. A lot of people don't understand that.
Absolutely. I don't even think you should have a business without a publicist or a marketing director.
Right?
And that's actually my background. I went to school for fashion design and marketing, and then I ended up in PR. Naomi Campbell used to own a PR firm way back in the day.
The Naomi Campbell?
The Naomi Campbell, yep, wow. Called NC Connect. And she started this PR firm because she was tired of giving away her contacts. She wasn't really a publicist or anything. She called her cousin, Desiree from London, and ran the whole shebang until it was no more. But that's where I really got my foot in. And then I didn't do fashion design. I went straight into public relations.
You know what I see, too, and I think this is very important when I travel around this part of the world, and I wish my country, your country, would adhere to this as much.
Yeah.
I talked about this earlier when I first started speaking during our seminar today, and it was that I see statues, and those statues are not for politicians. I don't see politicians in the statues. I see beautiful statues everywhere.
Beautiful.
Some of them are nobody. They're just beautiful statues. It's art.
Yeah.
Others are famous playwrights.
Yeah.
Others are famous poets.
Yeah.
Others are famous, perhaps, soldiers.
Founders.
Others are.
Yeah.
But you don't see just, you know, politician, 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 which means show me what's in your art. Show me what's in your parks. Show me what's in your cities, and I'll tell you who you are. And deep down in this part of the world, and it's not just Russia. I mean, you go to Prague and you go to other places in this part of the world. They really value their creative people above their politicians and others. That's important.
But in America, even from a young age, you know, I wanted to go to school for design, right?
Yeah.
But my dad was telling my mom, like,
no.
Don't you make my daughter dumb.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You gotta go to law school.
She has
to. You gotta go to business school.
Oh, absolutely.
You gotta be an architect.
But then what did I turn around and do as this big creative person myself? My youngest daughter is 14. Phenomenal artist.
Yeah.
She's phenomenal. Art school? No, you're not. You need to go to school for something that's going to pay your bills, and then you can.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm rethinking. Yeah. Don't kill me, but I'm rethinking the whole thing. Because she's so good, but even I adopted that same mentality. But you know, life does that to you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that somebody, and you know what, I'm gonna say this about my old friend Marco Rubio, who I grew up with in Miami, and even Mr. Trump, certainly J.D. Vance, there's some people in that administration who I think gutturally, instinctively, they know that what you and I are talking about makes sense. Why are we making enemies out of countries that don't want to be our enemy, right? Just to please some people in the war industry? And I believe that there's going to eventually, and they're going to be pushed there by the people, especially given what's going on in Gaza and Ukraine right now, and how Americans are saying, why is so much of my money going there when you're not you spending it on my kids?
Right.
I think something is coming that will trigger a change there. I'm optimistic about that.
There is going to be. There is going to be a change.
Yeah.
In the way that Russia is going right now, mm-hmm. The thing is, you don't have to go through the You don't have to go through the administration to get to the Americans. Mm-hmm. You can go through me and we can come the other way and get to the Americans. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's rapprochement. I mean, there has to be some kind of rapprochement, though, because if they make laws that make it almost impossible for you to come here, you got to work your butt off to get a visa, and then you can't even use your own credit card and blah, 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 then they can control the contacts human to human, which is a shame. They've done that in other places as well, and I just think it's always the wrong way to go. Let people get to know people.
Let people get to know culture.
The world will be a better place, right?
You know, I was at Moscow Fashion Week, and sometimes when you're with some of these designers from other countries, you just think how much culture we actually don't have in the U.S. Like, we just, we have this flag, and we have Fashion Week, and we have...
Great people. Great country, great constitution, great principles, the best ideas,
but,
and somehow we're not bringing them to fruition.
I know. But we all need each other.
That's so true.
And someone's going to be the voice of that.
You're such a delight to talk to.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time to take us through this conversation.
Anytime.
Yeah, it's really important.
I appreciate you.
Some lady from New York City. And by way of Baltimore.
Yes.
Hanging out in Moscow. And proud to be saying I love it here.
Proud to be. You'll see.
Yeah, it's cool.
I posted on my social media, literally... Russia.
So all your friends back home, what are you, weird? What the hell?
No,
are you
now
doing?
They're just like, man, we have
to
go.
That's cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, me too.
Like, I get man, we back. Need to go.
I show them pictures of St. Petersburg and they go, are you in Venice?
Exactly.
No.
Yes. And they're like, you were dressed like that in Moscow? I'm like, have you seen these girls in Moscow dress?
Oh, are you kidding? Oh, to the
are
nines.
You kidding?
Yeah, to the nines.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's
thank you
it's
so much.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Spasiba.
Wasn't that great? She really is a delight to talk to. Hey, before I go, I wanted to share with you some of the things that you guys have been saying. We've been getting a ton. I mean, a ton of comments lately here on The Sanchez Effect. Thousands of comments on every single show that we do. So we decided, you know what? Let's start reading some of these at the end of the night. So here we go. First one comes from Chris. He's in Kansas. He wanted to talk about the segment we did on the Chinese rise recently. He writes, China is far from a democratic country, and he advises me to take a look at their cities. Chris, I did. I was there. I reported from there. And you know what? I didn't see any crime. I didn't see any homelessness. I didn't see any division to speak of. As for democracy, I'm not even sure what that word means anymore. I know this, though. Every single Western poll, shows that the Chinese president, Mr. Xi, has an approval rating of about 80%. Dude, when was the last time that a Western leader even came close to that number? Maybe Reagan? Deborah from New Zealand is watching. She liked our Valdai coverage. And she says, Rick, just thanks for going to Valdai. NS51 says, thank you from Montenegro. Glad that you're watching there, NS. I am dying to visit your beautiful city, by the way. I look at it on the map all the time. Oh, my God. Goran writes to us from Macedonia. And he says, support and love for Russia, Palestine, Iran, Venezuela, and Serbia. You're right, Mr. Goran. They need it. And then finally, Emma says, you know, we Asians, we don't need the garbage that the West is offering us. Thank you, Emma, for your perspective. Well, keep watching. Keep commenting. We like hearing what you have to say. And thanks for being with us. By the way, you can always check out my podcast, just in case you haven't seen it yet. It's on YouTube. It's called Journalistically Speaking. Go check it out. Do me a favor. And if you like it, subscribe. Also, feel free to tell me what you think or don't think in the future about the things that I'm doing. I'll be happy to share them as well. And on X, you can find us. It's at Rick Sanchez TV. That's my handle. Lots of conversations there, and tens of thousands of you are watching. We'll be looking for you next time. Thank you for letting us into your home. We'll see you then.